Hebrews 9, and we're going to read verse 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. See that? That is as clear as it can be. The writer of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I tried to decide what the title is, and I think something like this: what if there was no blood? I want you to think about that now. What if God had not loved you enough, and me enough, to send his son, Jesus Christ? What if he would have been so angry with the way men and women are that he said, forget it? Just like he did in the Noah's day, in Noah chapter 6, he was so angry with the way his creation was living, it grieved him at his heart. The Bible says he repented. In other words, he changed his mind. He was sorry that he had made man. So he tells Noah, he says, I'm going to send a flood in 120 years. I want you to build that ark. And of course, Noah obeyed him. And after the ark, and everybody in the world was killed, and he used Noah's children and all to make children and to build people back in the world. And then God says, they're not going to change. He says, man's wicked in his heart. He says, he's still going to be a wicked thing. He did say, I'll never destroy the world again with a worldwide flood. He says, every time you see a Noah, a rainbow, that means that's the covenant between you and me, that I will never destroy the world again by a worldwide flood. But still, God was fed up with the way man was living and the way women were living, especially men. He always referred to in the masculine gender. And God sent some help. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin and to come into this world. And you know, the Bible, for the first few years, the first 12 years or so, first time the Bible says he was the carpenter's son, the Bible is silent. Then after that, to about the age of 30, nothing said about Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Bible is silent. Don't try to figure out what's in there. The Bible is silent. God says, I'll tell you about it when my son gets 30 years old. And I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ then became his ministry, where he was to die on the cross for you and I. He lived for about 3 years after that, to about the age 32 and a half, 33 years old, when he died on the cross for your sins and mine. He shed his blood. Amen. So that you and I could go home saved, come to church saved, get saved at church, whatever it takes. God loved man so much, even though man was wicked. Of course, man's not wicked today, is he? Nah, no, he's not at all. You got men want to be women now. It's not in my notes. And now they want out here and they want to play in the women's basketball team. I heard some, I won't mention the name, but one of the coaches was interviewed. If a transgender man wants to play on your team, would you let him? And she didn't know what to say, because she knew what they were going to do with it. They're going to run with that. And I want you to know, I won't say it because I don't want to cause any more. This sermon goes all over the world. But I want you to know, glory to God, the day that men start playing women's sports is history. Amen. Amen. All right, that's not in my notes. What if there was no blood? Number one, there would be no redemption. We talking about the payment of a debt is what redemption is. Jesus Christ died one time. He did not stay in the grave. Glory to God, redemption means somebody died for you. Somebody paid the price for you. Somebody died for me. And I'm so glad that God gave his son, but if there was no blood, in other words, I'm wasting your time if there was no blood, there would be no redemption. Jesus Christ died one time. He did not stay in the grave. He rose again the third day. So you and I could be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, there would be no remission, no forgiveness. Every sin would still be counted. Think about that. Every sin you've ever done in your life would still be counted. Let me tell you something. Don't ever doubt how much God loves you. As mad and angry as God was from time to time with the way man behaved himself in this world, forgetting him, forgetting the one that created him, not giving him thankfulness, but God loved man so much, even with anger, gave his only begotten son. There would be no remission. That means no forgiveness. There would be no forgiveness of our sins, and every sin would still be counted, would still be on the record. We'd still be in our sins. But remission involves several things. Watch it now. Number one, we're forgiven. Every sin. When you got saved, every sin, I don't care what it is, every sin you've ever done is gone. Thank God it's not counted anymore. I want you to think about that for a moment. There's not a man or a woman in here would love all of their sins, any of their sins, to be counted. I don't care who you are, men or woman. We've all got a life. We've all done some things in our life. We don't want to be counted. Thank God for Jesus Christ. When he died on that cross, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he shed his blood that you and I could have every sin, every filthy sin washed away, remitted, totally removed. But without the shedding of blood, there'd be no redemption. But secondly, there'd be no remission. This means we are forgiven. Secondly, it means we're justified. That's a legal term. A just God. Just as if I'd never sinned. God made you justified. A dirty, stinking, good-for-nothing, rotten sinner like me and like you is now justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. If Jesus had not shed his blood, we would not be justified. Y'all with me so far? Y'all here? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you women.
Amen.
Good, good. You can say amen in this church. Amen. Some women say women are to be silent. Not here. You say amen all you want. Amen? Glory to God. We're for the men and women in here. But we are forgiven. Secondly, we are justified. Thirdly, we are spared from God's wrath. You know, the Bible talks the wrath of a God is appointed upon man. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God spared his wrath on us when we got saved. Our judgment, then, has been satisfied. Did you hear me, church? Our judgment has been satisfied. That means you'll never stand at the great white throne judgment. You'll never have to worry about that judgment. Oh, judgment seat of Christ for our works. But the great white throne judgment is for people that were stupid, people that were ignorant, people that didn't have enough sense to get saved. You say you shouldn't say that. No, if they're going to live 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years and never get saved, that's dumb. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and for yours and mine. And thank God you and I will never be judged for our sins. Jesus judged them for us. Amen. That means life is found within his blood. Number one, I said there'd be no redemption. Number two, there'd be no remission. Number three, there'd be no reconciliation. Or should I, let me rephrase that. There would be no reconciling. Now, the Bible says in Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I look at that word reconciled. You know what that means? No longer opposed. Hang on now, church. No longer opposed. Reconciled, as the Bible calls it, means to restore. Means to accept. Much more, the Bible says in that scripture in Romans 5:10, much more we shall be saved by his life. You know, aren't you glad Jesus not only died, but he rose again? Let me tell you something, church. He died for our sins. That wouldn't have been good enough. He had to come out of that grave. He had to rise from the dead, and he rose from the dead. And when he rose, he died for my sins. He died for yours. But he rose that we could be justified. Just as if you never sin. Isn't that great? I'm looking at a bunch of sinners in here ought to go to hell. But thank God Jesus Christ looks at us justified. Just as if we never sinned. Glory to God. We've been reconciled. We've been brought. We're no longer an opposition toward God. That word reconciled, he brought us back together. No longer opposed. Means to restore again. Means to accept. And we shall be saved by his life. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 7:11, that God is angry with the wicked every day. We talked about that this morning there. God is, but hey, when you got saved, God's no longer angry with you. Amen. Woo, glory. See, he's angry. He's angry with people that say, no, I don't want your stinking son. I don't care if you gave him for me. I don't want Jesus Christ. I want my life. I want to do what I want to do. Leave me alone, God. And you know something? They're going to eat words like that. They better get saved. You know, God will still take somebody that said all that and save them. You know, I know God's angry with the wicked every day, but he says there's a way to appease the anger of God. That's to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his shed blood literally reconciles, brings you and I back to him. In other words, satisfied God by his son's blood. We can't do without the blood, church. Can't do it. Without it, no life. Without it, let's go home. Without it, let's not sing. Without it, what Brother Jerry sang, worthless. The name, the book of life I sang about, it's a lie. Without the blood, none of that's true. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo, glory. Thank God for it. All right, let's go to the fourth one. If there was no blood, there would be no, I like this one, recognition. First, the blood invited us. Grab a hold of that. To be saved. And all of you in here had enough sense to do it. The blood of Jesus Christ hollers out, come. Come, ye all that labor, and I'll give you rest. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ comes in and hollers this thing, I believe, as loud as it can. There would be no recognition, but the blood invited us to be saved. But now, we are invited to come. Don't miss this now. We are invited now to come boldly to the throne of grace. Let me look at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can obtain mercy. You know, I thank God for mercy. You say, what you mean? I can come boldly to the throne of grace only because you're saved. Only because Jesus is the way. And that doesn't mean you come cocky. The Bible says you can come boldly. In other words, have confidence that if you come to your heavenly Father, he'll hear you. He wants us to pray. He wants us to have confidence. And he says, come boldly to me. Not only that, but I'll give you grace. You see, I've already got the grace. Last week's sermon, 10 things about grace. Man, everybody listening to it all over the world right now. Sermon audio. Something about that. People want to know about Bible grace. So when I tell you, when you come boldly to the throne of grace, God wants to give you more grace. He gave you enough grace to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Y'all with me so far? You can come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, that you may be able to obtain mercy. I like the way he said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I don't know about you. I need more and more mercy. Amen. And find grace to help in time of need. It is the grace of God that helps you to make it through your hard times. It is the grace of God that helps you to make it when you're sick. It is the grace of God for hard times when you're going through difficulties in your life. Thank God he wants us to come boldly that we may obtain mercy and more grace in time of need. Amen? Thank God for that. So he knows you, what it boils down to. He knows who you are. Number five, I like this one. There would be no retaining. Now, that means we would not retain our salvation if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. We would retain our sins. Sounds like a double standard there. But understand, whether your sins are kept on the record or whether we can lose our salvation. If you could lose your salvation, that means your sins can be retained. Yeah. Thank God I know better than that. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Always remember something that God predestinated you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, he predestined you to heaven. Means when you got saved, your destination is already determined. You know what that means? You can't do good enough works to keep yourself saved. You can't do enough works to get yourself saved. None of us in this room deserve to be saved. If I got what I deserve, I'd go to hell. If you got what you deserve, you'd go to hell. There's not a man, there's not a woman in here that deserves to go to heaven. You came to church this morning. Thank God that you're here. But understand something, we couldn't retain ourselves salvation if it wasn't for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Savior. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. You all right, girl? All right. Good. She looks at me so funny when I'm walking down there. I'm talking about the dog, not Lori now. I'm just kidding. But you know something? I know we're not sinless people, but we're saved people. Thank God. And we will be sinless one day in heaven. Everybody, I can't understand, man, but folks can't. They live in this life. I know it's rough. I know we're going through difficulties. I know the country right now has disappointed many of us there. I know when my dad said, we're going to the United States. I'm getting you out of this type of government that we have here. I will not have my children subjected to this. And I was only about 8 years old. Let me tell you something. I still feel the United States is the greatest country ever, but let me tell you something, it's not like it used to be right now. It's not, because sin is almost glorified. Wickedness is almost glorified. God is made fun of. It's not in my notes, but I tell you, it gets me aggravated when I think about it. I could go another 15 minutes on that. But I'm trying to tell you there that we could be no retaining. We couldn't keep our salvation. Now, let's review the six of them. Number one, there'd be no, without the blood, there'd be no redemption, no remission, no reconciling, no recognition, no retaining. And number six, there would be no rising. I want you to think about that statement right there. No rising. You know what that means? There'd be no rising with the Savior. If Jesus had not died on the cross, if he had not shed his blood at the cross at Calvary, if your name was not written in the book of life because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross, he was buried, but he didn't stay there. Like I said, he rose again the third day. And because of that, we're going to be raptured out of here one day. But don't miss this, church. If there was no blood, there would be no rising. You know what that means? There'd be no 2 Corinthians 5:8. That's it. There would be no 2 Corinthians 5:8. That scripture has given people all kinds of comfort. You know that when you leave this world, yes, you'll leave it. That's absent from the body. But one day you leave here, you'll go there, but without the blood. You'll just be thrown in the grave. Body go rotten. No change. There'd be no 2 Corinthians 5:8. Something else I put here. There'd be no 2 Corinthians 5:1 and 2. That's where God has made us a body. Waiting for us in heaven, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Men and women, right now, you have a body waiting to take over your soul. Amen. Waiting. But glory to God, I'm thankful for that. But I think about that. If Jesus had not shed his blood, you wouldn't have that body waiting for you. Don't let anybody tell you, you die, you go in the grave, and you'll stay there till the rapture. You'll be with your body, your soul will be with your body. No, your soul will not be. Your soul goes to the body that God has prepared for you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, you go in that body. But that body will be one day even better. It'll be a glorified body when the rapture takes place and the bodies come out of the grave. And how God can do it, I don't know. But I don't even know how he created the world in 6 days. But I know that since we're made out of dust, he can bring it together. Amen? Glory to God. I don't care if the body has been buried for 2,000 years. He'll bring that thing together if that person's saved. But if there was no blood, the bodies would be left in the grave. There'd be no 2 Corinthians 5:1 and 2. There'd be no 2 Corinthians 5:8. But Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't care what they say. I don't care what these Baptists say that want to rip out the rapture out of the Bible. I don't care if they rip out 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brother Robert, they rip it out. But I believe what the Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Amen.
With the voice of the archangel.
That's right.
And the trump of God.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
This man, we've been by each other's side for going to be 33 years. Let me tell you something. Believes the same thing. I believe the rapture is going to take place. There's not one mistake in that Bible. Not one error in the Bible. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to come back. We ain't tearing it out. Amen. The day this church tears out the rapture, vote me out, amen? But I know better than that. You all are crazy enough to believe what I believe, amen? And to believe this book right here.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
For those washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, amen? So let me ask you something. Was there a day when you accepted Christ as your Savior? Most of you in here live past 40 so far. A few kids in here. Some of you in your 30s. But let me tell you something. You don't know when that last breath is going to hit. I've done funerals from babies on to 90s. You know, all I can say, they all die the same way. The heart stops beating. If you're saved, don't worry about it. Why, preacher? Because absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Woo. You know, I call me a nut. I want to act like one till I die. Glory to God. I'm glad. Amen. I ain't going to live in this old body forever. Amen. Glory to God. God's, you know, this is our first home. That's why the body calls this your home. That's why you're absent from the home when you die. But you'll have a brand new home. Don't worry about it, glory to God. Live your life for the Lord. Do what you can for the glory of God. Try to keep people out of hell. But in the meantime, thank God for his grace and his mercy and for the blood of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God spoke to your heart.